Snowy carpet. As the popular American song puts it, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And this past Sunday morning was the first Sunday of December, and I was led to preach on the birth of God's Christmas gift to the world, the royal seed that he gave that the choir just sang about tonight. I like this time of year. It's a time to reflect on God's gift. And tonight, once again, I feel led to preach on another famous biblical text that is often brought out in the Christmas season. So if you have your Bible, I hope you do, please turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, I want to read verse 6 and verse 7. As well. So Isaiah 9, I'll read verse 6 and 7. Very famous verse and verses. Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, I want to lift out from that text the title of my sermon for you tonight. The title is, "His name shall be called Wonderful." His name shall be called Wonderful. I noticed in the modern translations that I've looked at, it doesn't say his name is called Wonderful. It says his name is called Wonderful Counselor. And they reason it out. Oh, it's got the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So why would it be Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma? Why not Wonderful Counselor? Well, that's their problem. They try to reason it out. I don't do that. I'm not smarter than God. Amen? I don't put a question mark where God put a period. And so tonight, his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the subject of the message. And he is a Wonderful Counselor. I'll admit that. But this is more than that. He's more than a wonderful. He's just wonderful. And so that's what the Bible says. And then it says he'll be called Wonderful. He'll be called Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Some people take that Everlasting Father and they think, well, God is the Father. So they pray and they say, "Thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for our sins." Whenever you hear somebody say that, that's not right. The Father did not die on the cross for our sins. The Holy Spirit did not die on the cross for our sins. The Son died on the cross for our sins. Let's get it straight. And so that's a big word. It's called metro. I won't talk about it. Modalistic petropassianism. That's a big word. To call God the Father the Son. But really, modalistic petropassianism. I have to say that right. That's what that heresy is called, where people say the Father died on the cross. Modalistic petropassianism. That's on the quiz for tomorrow. Would you like that? No, I don't think so. They're looking at me like, they don't want that on the quiz for tomorrow. All right. So anyway, the Father did not die on the cross for our sins. You say, well, what does it mean, Everlasting Father? He's the everlasting patriarch. You know, Abraham was the patriarch. Isaac was the patriarch. That's speaking of his patriarchal. He's being the father of Israel and the one that lasts forever. He's the son of David, who was a patriarch, but he is the everlasting one. And he's from everlasting to everlasting. Right. Amen. None of the other patriarchs were like that. Right. You know, that's speaking of his eternity as a patriarch. But it doesn't mean he's God the Father. And then, so Tonight, I want to look at, I'm sure you've had Christmas gifts that are memorable. I could probably ask you, what's the most memorable Christmas gift you ever received? And you would probably say the coffee that we get. And just a joke there. But, you're thinking of the memorable Christmas gifts that you received. And but let's look at the greatest gift that's ever been given tonight, and the greatest gift that's ever been received. And so this is the title, His Name Shall Be Called Wonderful. Now, I'd like to say three things about that. Number one, because it says that He is both a child born and a son given. Look at verse 6 again, just so you see that. First of all, let's look at a child born. It says, for unto us a child is born. It's great when somebody calls me up and says, we're having a child, Pastor. Now, if it's a married couple and they're telling me they're having a child, I always rejoice in that. Amen. What a blessing it is to bring a child into this world. But this is not just any birth, man. This is not just any child. And I was talking to Ryan Wolf. I had mentioned Ron Wyatt. How many have heard of Ron Wyatt? I'd mentioned him. He's an archaeologist. He discovered the biblical Mount Sinai, where it's all burned granite rock up there on top of Mount Sinai. He discovered it. He made some other discoveries. He claims, and he's a friend of Kent Hovind, and he's in heaven now, but he's claimed to discover Jeremiah's Grotto, which is right under archaeologist Gordon's Calvary. By the way, I went to the two sites of Calvary, and I don't know about you, but when I saw Gordon's Calvary, I said, that's it. I didn't even plan to look at it. I just looked up, and I said, oh, that's the skull. That's the hill. That's where he died. That's what it was to me when I saw it in 2016. And right under there is Jeremiah's Grotto, where the Ark of the Covenant has been purported, was taken through Jeremiah before the Babylonian captivity. And when Christ died, remember there was the earthquake, and Riot said that his blood, some of his blood dropped down through the cracks there in Gordon's Calvary and dropped right on top of the mercy seat. And Ron Wyatt, the archaeologist, was allowed to get in there. And he said he saw angels standing guard around it. And he was allowed to take a sample of the blood. And the thing is that the blood, when the doctors, the Israeli doctors, looked at it, they said this blood has not decayed. It's still alive. It's alive. Where'd you get this blood? And they said, you know, there are 23 female chromosomes, which is the X chromosome. And the male can contribute an X or a Y. If he gives a Y, it's going to be a boy. If he gives an X, it's going to be a girl, because she already has X's. And so they said there are 23 female chromosomes in the blood that are here. That should be here out of the 46 chromosomes that should be here. There are 23 female X's, but there's only one Y. Where did you get this blood? And Ron Wyatt broke into tears. He said, this is the blood of your Messiah. And I personally believe that account. I've heard it. But whether you believe it or not is really not important, because the word of God, Isaiah the prophet, said 700 years before he was born, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What an amazing thing that is, that this child was born with God providing the Y chromosome. By a miracle. Through the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. The only God-given virgin birth in the history of mankind. And it happened 2,000 years ago. Right. Amen. You got to deal with this. greatest gift, a son, is born to us. I like that, us. We need it. This poor world needs it. 700 years later, the Apostle Matthew wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph." Now, espousal meant that they were legally, contractually wedded, but it was not physically consummated until the public wedding. But just in case you wonder about that, he said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," and then Matthew adds, "before they came together." You know, birds and the bees. Before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:18. And what did Joseph think? What any red-blooded man would think. "She cheated. I'm going to get divorced." And God spoke to him in a dream. When he thought on these things, it said, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." What an amazing thing that God would be the father of this baby as a gift to us, mankind. So that he could save this world and give us this wonderful blessing of salvation for the planet and for us personally. What are you going to do with this gift that he gave? It's the greatest gift of all. And I think about even Mary. She had the virgin birth. She knew it. She had not come together with Joseph. She was pregnant by God. Had this baby. Then she came together with Joseph and had sisters and brothers, half brothers and sisters. But when Jesus was 12 years old, they went, as Jews do, traveling down from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the Passover. And they went to travel back to Nazareth. And no 12-year-old boy. Where is he? They began to freak out. They hadn't worried about him because he was so responsible. They just figured he was with them. You know, some people have their 12-year-olds babysit. Amen. We used to. My daughter could run the house at 12. My oldest daughter. But anyway. but they were freaking out. And they found him. Finally, they went all the way back to Jerusalem, found him in the temple, astounding the doctors and amazing the doctors by his comments and his questioning. And they were amazed at him. Why were they amazed at him? His name is Wonderful, shall be called Wonderful. He's an amazing person.
Yes, amen.
And you know, his mother had forgot the wonder of her own virgin birth. She said, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father," pointing to Joseph. "Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye or knew ye not that I must be about my father's business?" You see, she had forgotten. Momentarily, the wonder of his birth. Don't you forget it in all the hurry of Christmas. Don't forget the wonder of his birth. Amazing birth where the virgin born Son of God, the only one, was born there in Israel, in Bethlehem. I thank God I get to go right to the spot where he was born. And what a wonderful birth that was. Do you need to be reminded tonight, like Mary, of the wonder of his entrance into the world by not only the virgin birth of God, but the only one in history? Do you need to be reminded of that tonight? And then secondly, do you need to be reminded that God not only gave us a virgin birth child, but he gave us his only begotten son. And that's another reason why he's wonderful. Notice verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born. Now watch, unto us a son is given. Now it doesn't say a son is born, right? He was the virgin born son of God, yes. But also a son is given. Now in John 1:1-3, it's talking about the fact he wasn't just the seed of Mary going back to King David through Nathan and going all the way back to Abraham and so forth, and Luke takes him all the way back to Adam. But he was not just the seed of mankind. He was the Son of God. And it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jehovah's false witnesses need to know this. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When beginning? He was always with God. From the beginning of creation, he was with him forever. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, verse 3 of John 1, was not anything made that was made. But then it goes down into verse number 14. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what does that mean, only begotten? In fact, only begotten is translated from a Greek word called monogenes. Monogenes. That's not mononucleosis. That's different. Monogenes. And it means that he was the only begotten Son of God. Now, God has had many sons. The angels are sons of God. If you're born again, you're a child of God. I've read these modern translations where it says in John, he's the one and only Son. They're lying. And if a Bible translation lies, who's the author of it? The devil. That's why I just believe one Bible translation. And I'm just saying to you that he is, it says, the only begotten. So rather, he is the only Son, capital S, that was eternally begotten of the Father, and that he alone came to reveal and manifest the Father God. In other words, the first part of the verse says that unto us a child is born. But the second part doesn't say this speaks of the virgin birth. That's the first part. This speaks about the eternal Son being given. The eternally begotten God being given. In other words, I have three sons. They were born at a certain time. They were begotten in my wife at a certain time. It would be like Jylene here saying she was begotten in Puerto Rico and born in the U.S. I'm just saying to you that when it talks in the first part of the verse, it talks about him being begotten. And that we talked about the virgin birth. But when it says a son being given, that is a gift of the eternal Son of God now, that he is becoming man. God becoming man. He didn't do that for angels. He did that for you and I. You say, why would God do that? He wants to be close with us. He wants to give you a great gift. He did give you a great gift. What are you doing with Jesus Christ? I heard a man today who said he realized he was going to hell. And he deserved to go to hell. I know I deserve to go to hell. I deserve it. And he knows he deserved it. And he told the Lord that. But it was like the Lord showed him, but I'm not going to condemn you to hell. You're saved. And that's what God promises us in the Word of God. That if we put our trust in him to save us, we are saved. And so what are you doing with this gift? Are you neglecting it? There's two ways to deal with this gift. One is to neglect it. How shall we escape if we what? Neglect. So great salvation. You could just neglect it. Say, that's not important to me. That's neglecting it. Or you can reject it. You hear it? Say, I don't believe that. I reject it for whatever reason. But it's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And so his name shall be called Wonderful, because he is both a child born and a son given, the most wonderful gift that's ever been given. And number two, because it says that the world government shall be on his shoulder. Look at verse 6 again. I'll read it. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And what? The government shall be upon his shoulder. What's that? He's going to run the entire future world. He's going to rule over every part of the entire future world. But it doesn't say it's going to be on his shoulders. How many have carried things on your shoulders before? You put them on your shoulders. Yeah. I'll probably do that tonight when I bring out the garbage. I'll be going across the line. On my shoulders. But when he runs the whole world, it's going to be on one shoulder. In other words, he's wonderful because he can put the entire government upon the world on one shoulder, and he doesn't even break a sweat to be able to rule and reign over everything. By the way, aren't they throwing everything at Donald Trump to keep him from getting in office? Why don't they want him in office? It's because they're afraid that he's going to bring justice down on these wretches in this wicked world cabal. The evidence is now in. The man in New Zealand has the evidence. He's released it. It's out there. How many of you have heard the evidence on the man in New Zealand? And now it's spreading to guys that have taken the data. See, very few of you, because they're not reporting it. 20 million people they killed with the jab. 20 million people worldwide were killed with the jab. And the evidence is in now, but it's not being reported. The mainstream media just admit, oh, it's true what he said, the data, but we don't interpret it like he does. What a wicked world we live in. And some of us may worry and say, man, I want to see Donald Trump get in there. I want to see this stuff get exposed. And hardly anybody's worried about Ron DeSantis, and they don't think he's going to win anything. But don't put it past these guys. They could rig that, because they don't want Trump in there. They would like him out in the primaries. So even if Ron DeSantis gets ahead somewhere along the line, I'm not saying he's going to, but if he does, my trust is not in that. I'm asking God to put him back. Are you? The Lord is able to deal with these things without breaking a sweat. That's why he is so wonderful, and why I put my trust in him, because he is going to rule this entire world. And by the way, even though this is an evil world, even though Satan is the god of this world, can God intervene in the affairs of this world? How about Moses when he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? And the Red Sea split. Can he do that again? He's done it before. He made the sun stand still in Joshua's day. Can he do that again? I would say that he can do that again. How about when they crucified him on the cross? They buried him. They put guards to guard the tomb. Up from the grave he arose. How about after that happened, he ascended back up into heaven. He sent the Holy Ghost down. And now they're fighting him everywhere. First of all, it was just one man. Now he's everywhere. Isn't that God intervening in this world? Can he do that, beloved? Sure he can. You say, Pastor, why? Because he's wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. And so I want to say that we can say that because the world government shall be on his shoulder. What a wonderful thing that is. And by the way, if he can direct the affairs of the world and the world to come, can't he carry some burden that you're carrying now that you should give to him and trust him with by faith?
That's good.
He's wonderful at it. He can handle it. And I want to say one more thing. His name shall be called Wonderful because he's both a child born and a son given, the greatest gift the world has ever received, because it says that all the whole world government will be upon one of his shoulder, not shoulders. And number three and last, because it says that his name shall be called Wonderful. You say, wait a minute, you've been saying that. I'm not saying the name of my message is his name is wonderful. It is. But his name shall what? Be called Wonderful. I like it when my wife calls me wonderful. I don't deserve it, but she does it once in a while. I like that. But I'm really not wonderful. But he is. And when's the last time you've told him that he's wonderful? You should, because he is. And perhaps tonight you don't see his wonders like you should. You don't recognize the wonder. When I got up this morning, I saw the snow falling. I said, he's wonderful. Look at that. I have a hard time drawing stick figures. And look at the artistry of this God that I serve. You know, I'm limited on artistic abilities. I really resent that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really. It's just the way it is. But he's wonderful. And I can tell him that. And do you see that this is a prophecy of what he will be called in the future time from Isaiah? He's saying people are going to call him Wonderful. By the way, the word wonderful is capitalized. You know what that means in your King James Bible? It means he's divinely wonderful. He can do wonders that only God can do. He should make you wonder. A lot of times I find myself saying, wow. And you know my joke, wow spelled backwards is wow. You turn it upside down, it's mom. You know, it's like, wow. He's wonderful. And so, he is the wonder-working God that he can do things that are greater than anybody. And he made this whole world in 6 24-hour days. He spoke and it just came into existence. The Bible says he upholds everything, even the microscopic elements that make up one little atom. He keeps them all going and keeps them from coming apart. He's controlling even that. I'm saying that his power is wonderful. His omniscience is wonderful. His omniscient intelligence is wonderful. He's everywhere present. That he's wonderful for that. And he's wonderful in showing grace and mercy in our life. He's wonderful in the way he answers our prayers. You know, Tom Williams, the evangelist, said that he's able to treat us like we're his only children. He's able to treat us just like that. Amen. I got encouraged when Melissa texted me and she said, I got encouraged when she got married and how God's working in her life, and I could see that happening. And it's always a blessing to see that, you know. And she texted me about coming across the church history on YouTube, and she said, it was such an encouragement. It touched my heart because my foundations were laid here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I thank God for this church. You know why? That we have a wonderful Savior here.
Right.
We're not just meeting here tonight. You're hearing the pastor and listening to the choir and hearing prayer requests and praises. We're meeting with a wonderful person tonight that brought us all together here. He He's wonderful, and he does wonders, and he answers prayer. And thank God for Melissa. The enemy comes in and tries to hit families and devastate marriages and hurt people and punches, and you see the pain in children's lives. We see it in bus kids' lives. We see it, but then what a blessing it is when Jesus heals hearts and lives and puts marriages together. He's wonderful at that. He can do those things. Diane Payone called me up or texted me, and I called her back, and she gave me a testimony how God gave her the desire of her heart. And she was going to tell me, you know, it's like the Bible says. And I said, yeah, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of my heart. She said, I really didn't want to go back to work. I want to use my time to serve the Lord in the church, Pastor. Amen. And now I'm going to be able to do that, it looks like. She said, I asked God to change the desires of my heart if they weren't right, but he didn't do that. But now he's giving me the desires of my heart. And you know what? God can do that in your life when you delight yourself in him. And by the way, nothing else can satisfy you. Drugs can't satisfy you. Physical things can't satisfy, like food or any kind of other physical thing, can't satisfy that God-shaped vacuum you have inside of you. But he's wonderful. He can satisfy you. In his presence is the fullness of joy. At his right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. His name is wonderful. And it was such a blessing for me to hear Diane's testimony. She said, Pastor, all these answers to prayer I'm getting. You know what makes it wonderful is he's treating you like you're his only child. He's able to answer your prayer. He is a personal God. He's real. Don't listen to the devil who tries to say he doesn't exist. To quote Donald Trump, that is fake news. Don't believe it. His name is wonderful. And the Bible predicts here in Isaiah 9:6 that he would be called wonderful. Are you helping to fulfill that prophecy tonight and during this Christmas season by your own testimonies of his wonder and grace? I know some of the ladies did that. Karen, you did that the other night. And others of you did that. You shared. Are you able to share how wonderful he is in your life? I know we're praying for things for Jessica. God hears those things. He answers those things. Why? So that you can say, you're wonderful. By the way, we're not to seek praise, right?
That's right.
We're not. We're not to be high on praise. But God does. He loves it.
Yes.
You can praise him all you want.
Right.
His name shall be called wonderful. Are you finding yourself delighting in him and seeing him wonderfully granting you the desires of your heart? Are you praying for things that only he can do? And then are you calling him wonderful when he answers you? But are you telling others how wonderful he is? Not only from what the Bible says, although yes, you need to do that, but from your own experience. You see, you're a witness, but a witness has to firsthand experience. You know, I talk to a lot of people, they're bitter. You know why they're bitter? Because they put their faith in things that cannot replace the wonderful Savior. And they're disappointed because of these things failing them. Yes, they'll fail you. If you trust in me or any other human flesh, we will fail you. But if you trust in the wonderful Savior that is being talked about tonight, the greatest gift ever given, beloved, he will not fail you. And when he comes through for you, it will give you goosebumps. Wonder and delight. He may try you and test you and you go through dark nights, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Matt asked me today as I was talking to him and praying with him in the morning. He said, "Pastor, I need work today." And my wife came home from school. She said, "I hope Matt gets work today." I don't know how she heard about it, but anyway, Matt must be asking for prayer. But anyway, I was praying for him, and at the end of the day, I talked to him. Oh, she overheard him. Okay, she listens to my phone calls. So at the end of the day, I asked Matt. I said, "Matt, how did it go?" He said, "Oh, my day was." I'll use the term wonderful. I don't know if you use that. My day was wonderful. And he just said how God put it all together. You know, God does that. The Lord Jesus does that. I was up at Joe Slobodnik's, and Joe said to me, "You know, God provides my jobs for me." And he said, strangely, this year he gave me a whole year work, and I got it done in 10 months, and it's done now. For November, December. Right, Brother Joe? Am I right or am I right? Yeah, that's what he told me. And you say, how does God do things like that? He is wonderful. He really is. And I hope tonight you will realize that his name shall be called Wonderful, and you'll call him that because you know that he has given you the gift of a child born. And a son, eternal son given. Because he lets you know that he can, without break a sweat, handle everything. And work out details that you can't work out because the government will be upon his shoulder. And because it says that his name shall be called Wonderful. And so that you'll do it. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer tonight. And I wonder tonight, we've been talking about the wonder of